Well, greetings, everybody. He is risen. And we are here to talk about the most important event in human history, the resurrection of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to a new week at Basic Gospel. If you've been holding on to a question over the long Easter weekend, we want to invite you to call right now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about Jesus right now because it is Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. It's the single most important event that's ever happened in human history. And that's what Richard would refer to as the Christ event, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that also includes the ascension of Christ.
Yes.
So the death, the burial, and resurrection were over a three-day period. The ascension happened 40 days later, and then Pentecost happened 10 days after that.
Yeah.
But that death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension all are the four pieces, the four stories of this gospel message. And it really is good news. And I know we had a wonderful Easter celebration yesterday. Our whole family was together. We went to a fantastic church service and really it just embraced the story, just read it again and just saw the importance of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection for all of mankind. I read recently that somebody said about the cross, for example, that all truth, every ounce of truth was revealed right there. The truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about the solution to man's problem. Truth was revealed right there, and it was ratified gloriously in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that resurrection really means something to us in the fact that just as Christ was raised from the dead physically, when we come to him by faith, we're raised spiritually to walk in the newness of life. So I know for many people here, it was a very joyful time celebrating the good news of Jesus Christ. For others out there in the world, it was a very sad day. In Sri Lanka, 290 people died as six suicide bombers exploded and set off their bombs in churches, I think three churches and two hotels, and 290 people lost their life on Easter, a joyful time turned into a very sad time. And the only thing that could help those grieving is knowing that their loved ones had been connected to the hope of the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ, that they would be absent from the body, present with the Lord, and that one day they would receive resurrection bodies. But it's a very sad news story. And it's something that is happening more frequently as time goes on, and that is the persecution of Christians around the world. We're seeing these news stories just unfold day after day after day. And one group has said that almost 100,000 Christians lose their lives or martyred every single year simply because they name the name of Jesus Christ, because they stand up for the basic essentials of the faith, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The apostles, they died for their faith. Why? Because they realized that with the words of Jesus and with the connection of Jesus, that even if they died physically, they would never die spiritually.
Right.
And that really is the hope of the resurrection. That is the good news story. That's why we have hope beyond this present life. That's why we can look at what happens today, and even though we can be sad and grieve, we can look beyond it and see the joy that believers will experience in being with Christ forever.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you've joined us for this edition. We have open lines if you'd like to join the conversation right now. It's about coming up on 5 minutes past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, so you're hearing the live broadcast if you're hearing it at that time. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. We would love to pose your question on this edition. 844-322-2742. And, Bob, we have something exciting for new Basic Gospel listeners.
We do. We have something that's very exciting. And a part of this resurrection story story is the fact that we are made new in Christ. Yes. When we come to Christ, we're made new, and God gives us a brand new identity. We were all sinners. That's what we, how we came into this world. Mm-hmm. That was the label that was pinned on all of us. All had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But when we come to Christ, we're saved by grace, and we get a new label. We get a new identity. It's called child of God, and there's no greater identity that any of us can have than being named a child of God. We're named that because we're a part of the family of God. We've been born again into the family of God. And this is such an important truth that God has sent his Spirit to take up residence inside of us to bear witness with our human spirits that indeed we are children of God. Yeah, yes. And we have created this resource to help solidify your identity in Christ. We've pulled all of the wonderful passages out of the New Testament that talk about our identity, the fact that we're children of God, that we're led by the Spirit, that we've been forgiven, that we've been reconciled, that we've been made new, that we've been made righteous, that we have been sanctified, that we have been made holy and perfect, all in the sight of God by the work of Christ Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection. We want you to have a copy of this, and it's free just for the asking. We have it both in PDF form and in booklet form. So you can request your copy either way that is most convenient and most preferable for you. So, Bob, share with them how they can get a copy of Your Identity in Christ.
If you're hearing the live broadcast, you can call right now and speak with Michelle at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. It's kind of the universal number that we use here at Basic Gospel, and she would welcome your call right now. Otherwise, if you're not hearing the live broadcast, if you're hearing a delayed broadcast, you can go to basicgospel.net/free and request your copy of Your Identity in Christ. Either way, we want to get it into your hands. Again, that's basicgospel.net/free.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we go to our phone lines, wanted to talk about this verse in Luke 24, verse 27. So after the resurrection, Jesus appears to various people. And as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, he appeared to over 500 people. Mm-hmm. So they became the eyewitnesses to this event. So how do we know the resurrection happened? As far as I know, there was only the Roman centurions there outside keeping watch when the resurrection occurred. And the stone rolled away. They were petrified. They didn't know what really happened. And then the disciples and the women came to the tomb. The women came to the tomb first. When they got there, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. They peered in, and his body wasn't there.
Yeah.
Some record angels being present and having conversations with the women. And so they went and told the disciples, and Peter and John came running, and they peered in and saw that the body was gone. But it wasn't until Jesus Christ himself appeared to each of them that the resurrection became a reality in their belief system, that they finally understood what Jesus had been saying all of this time. And in Luke 24, we see one of those post-resurrection appearances as he appears with two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. And they're questioning the events, and they're wondering what really happened. And they are left without hope because they believe that Jesus' body was stolen. They haven't really put two and two together. And Jesus says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself."
Had to be the most incredible Bible study in forever.
Human history. And
yeah.
it was so powerful, their hearts burned within them.
Yeah.
And they were able to recognize Jesus for who he was. And at that moment, they became eyewitnesses to the fact that this Jesus who was crucified is now alive. And they became the voices of that story, along with the rest of the disciples and those 500 that saw Jesus after his resurrection. But I found this interesting that he went to Moses and the prophets to interpret all things to these two disciples. This story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection didn't happen in a vacuum. It had context. This was being unfolded for us since the very beginning of time. Why? Because it was the plan of God before creation actually occurred. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So he unfolded the story through the prophets. And if people had been paying attention, they would have seen what was happening and would have recognized Jesus for who he claimed to be, as some did. So when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, this is what he's referring to.
Yes.
We can see typology of Christ's death in the Passover, for example, the Day of Atonement. Those were all types and shadows of the reality that we experience by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ today. So he explained it all to them so that this gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, is in accordance with Scriptures. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. That validates this word that we read, and it validates the faith that we have in the one who died for us, who gave himself for us, and loves us today.
Absolutely. But it's basic gospel, everybody. Open lines. If you're hearing the live broadcast, you can speak directly with us at 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hey, Clay.
Clay.
Hello. Just one quick thing, and then I want to make a comment. To me, what validates the resurrection of Jesus from the grave is a changed life today, because there's no way that people can change the way they do without his life. And so that's proof enough to
me. Well, I think that's the most powerful piece of evidence. I mean, we can look at the eyewitness accounts, and that is a part of the evidence trail. And that's really where the evidence trail starts, but it ends with changed lives. So the lives of the apostles were changed. They were transformed. And our lives today are transformed by the exact same story, by the exact same message, Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And wherever that message is proclaimed, wherever Jesus is lifted up, he draws people unto himself, and they receive new life through faith in him. So their lives are different. Their lives are new. They are made fully alive in Jesus. And that, Clay, as you said, that is the most powerful piece of evidence. And it's one that is always pointed to by apologists, and we're all apologists for the good news of Jesus Christ. We all defend and give an answer for this hope that's within us. But that really trumps every other piece of evidence, I think, and I agree with you there, Clay.
I wanted to say one quick thing. A friend of mine, he's a pastor. He corrected me on something this week, and it just completely – that when that stone was rolled away, where there's several renditions, and one part the angels rolled it away, however it got rolled away, it wasn't to let Jesus out. All it was for is to show that he had already risen.
Yeah, I agree with you. We needed
and
to
I
see.
I never looked at it that way. Go back and research all the Gospels. He was already out. No stone was going to hold him. He didn't need the stone to roll away for the power of God to be, for the Son of God and the Son of Man to be resurrected.
Yeah. Jesus wasn't Lazarus.
Tradition. Yes.
Jesus is Jesus.
Amen. Ooh, I like that.
That's good stuff, huh?
He wasn't Lazarus. I'm going to go tell him that tomorrow.
That's right. Ready. That's right. You can tweet that one, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, man.
All right. Thanks, Richard. God
You're welcome.
You, man.
Thanks, Clay. Good to hear from you. Well, guys, we had this question that came in off hours.
What's the proper answer to give somebody that is asking about self-love?
Self-love.
Self-love. And I think the real way to word this question is, how do we develop a proper self-image? You know, quite frankly, we love ourselves too much.
Yeah. And in the wrong way.
That's right. That's right. And one of the things that we see in 2 Timothy, for example, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." So what tops the list there is lovers of self. There's a selfishness. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a proper self-image. So I think we understand that humanity was created in the image of God. We understand that Christ so loved us that he sent Jesus into the world. So that shows God's viewpoint, God's attitude toward his creation, toward his highest creation, and that is mankind. And that gives us a sense of self-worth. And then when we really understand who we are in Christ, when we understand this identity in Christ, then we can develop a proper self-image, a self-image that is unshakable, that will not crack, that will endure. And I think that's what the question really is asking. How do we develop a proper self-image? And it just really starts with understanding what Christ has done for each and every one of us through his death, burial, and resurrection, and what it means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, yeah. To be a new creation. So we start with the fact that our sins are forgiven, all of them. And so we stand before God, loved and accepted in his presence. We've been made righteous. Again, this speaks of our right standing before God, the fact that we're acceptable in his sight, again, because of the work of Jesus. We've been reconciled. We're at peace with God. We've been justified. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart. We've been made holy. All of these things go together in forming a proper self-image, not one based on worldly philosophies, not one conformed to the ways of this world, which is nothing more than selfish love, but one that is anchored in truth, the truth that's been revealed to us in the person of Christ Jesus. This is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And a lot of, I've had other Christians say, well, shouldn't we love ourselves? You know, as if agape love has something to do with me. Well, the word here isn't about agape love. This is a very self-centered, save myself at all costs kind of word, as opposed to agape, which is God giving everything to save us. And when he gets a hold of us, then we find ourselves spending ourselves for others. Completely different idea. And it, when you understand that difference, then you begin to understand why it's not possible apart from Christ and why identity is so vital. Because if you don't know who you are, you can't know who you are. Yeah. You just can't.
That's exactly right
to put it.
I love what Paul wrote about husbands and wives in Ephesians chapter 5. He says this, "In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Mm-hmm. And so if we're really going to love ourselves in a proper fashion, that's going to happen as we learn to serve others in love, to count others more highly than we do ourselves. So it's a humility. It's a dependence upon the Lord Jesus. It's recognizing that God has already given us a name, and we don't have to go out there and try to make a name for ourselves.
Yeah.
We're actually free to love others, and in doing so, as the Bible says here, we're loving ourselves.
Well, that's the subject of something that, Bob, you want to tell our new listeners about that is very, very meaningful in understanding their identity in Christ.
I do, and this is one of our most requested resources. and it's called Your Identity in Christ. And we've pulled, I think, 42 different passages out of the Word of God and really assembled them in a logical fashion, so that as you work through them, you can really gain a deep understanding of what it means to be a child of God, the enormous love that God has lavished upon you in the person and work of Jesus Christ, so much so that he calls you a child of God.
Yeah.
And we want you to have this resource. It just gives you a rock-solid faith and an appreciation of the Lord like you've never had before. I've used this in counseling settings. So somebody comes in, they're all depressed, they're lower than a snake's belly, and life is just tough. I mean, it's really tough, and they see no way out. And we talk a little bit, and I try to put some hope in the situation, and then I say, let's just read through these. And we'll open up this little booklet and read through passage after passage after passage, and then I say, is this good enough to give thanks to God for right now? And boy, you just see their countenance start to change, and you start to see this joy starting to flow out of them because they're recognizing truth, truth that God has done for them through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a rock-solid faith for that proper self-image, this resource is for you, and it's yours simply for the asking.
Absolutely. Well, you can call right now if you're listening to the live broadcast. You can call now or probably within the next couple or 3 hours and speak directly with Michelle. That number is 844-322-2742. Just ask her for the resource called Your Identity in Christ. Conversely, you can go online to, I think that's a word, to basicgospel.net/free, and you can do that anytime, 24 hours a day. But either way is a great way to request your copy if you are a new Basic Gospel listener to get your copy of Your Identity in Christ. Well, guys, we had this question from Diana. She says, my AA sponsor just informed me that they are Jehovah's Witnesses. I truly care about her and want her to know truth. How do I pray for her?
Pray that her eyes will be open to the person and work of Jesus Christ. So a Jehovah's Witness will not believe that Jesus is God. As a matter of fact, their scriptures have been rewritten. For example, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They've changed.
God.
Well, I'm getting
to
that. They changed that to say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a little g God. So they don't believe that Jesus was God in human flesh. They don't believe in the incarnation as Christians do. So they're not believing in the Jesus of the Bible. So your prayer for them is that God would open their eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ,
yeah.
That they will recognize Jesus as the Anointed One, as the Messiah, as their Savior. And so it all gets down to Jesus. Now, there's other things that you can talk to them about, but if you really want to make an impact, I think you have to just move the conversation straight to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, they might try to argue back, but just lift Jesus up.
Yeah.
Let the word concerning him do its work and leave the results in God's hands.
Indeed. Well, friends, we want to remind you, and you can take advantage of this all five of our broadcast days, we are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube, and we want you to be a part of that growing number that tune in and see what's happening in the studio every day. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, if you are a new listener to this program, we have a special gift just for you. Just visit basicgospel.net/free and request your copy of Your Identity in Christ. Or as I said, if you're listening to the live broadcast now or for the next couple or 3 hours, you can call directly and speak with Michelle at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Keep in mind also, friends, that Basic Gospel is in need of your support to keep the good news on the air. Please help with a donation today if you can. Click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Or you can call 844-322-2472 anytime and leave your information if Michelle is not available live. So again, that number, 844-322-2742. Or go online to basicgospel.net. Click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the very same time on this very same station for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.